Welcome to Focus on the Community, presented by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. Today, our guest is Washington Community Schools' new athletic director, Mr. Larry Cochran. We're going to introduce Mr. Cochran to the community, find out his plans in his new role here in Washington, and talk about some upcoming sports and some teams and see where they're going to be this school year. First off, Mr. Cochran, good morning. Thanks so much for taking time to talk with us. I guess we'll begin with the Larry Cochran story. For those not familiar, a little bit of background about you and your family.
Well, I'd been the athletic director for 14 years at Evansville Bossy High School. A couple years ago, me and my wife decided that maybe it was time to, you know, do something else and get away from Evansville a little bit. And I had a great time in Evansville, but we went to Richmond for the last 2 years. Great community, great people, great kids. But missing Southern Indiana, where we grew up, my wife's from Jasper, myself growing up in Huntingburg, you know, I had longed to be in a community that was sort of like what I grew up in. And, you know, Washington really fit that bill. And I was very appreciative of the opportunity to be the athletic director here.
Well, I'll tell you what, you step into a role with some big shoes to fill, Mr. Gene Miller. I'll tell you, he's been here for several years now. And one thing we should stress this morning, although he left the role in this capacity, Gene will still be on with the basketball team.
Yeah, on that, and you know, me and Coach Miller go way back. Anyway, we've had a relationship for quite a few years, obviously, with me being an athletic director, and you know, very, very thankful that he's staying on as a basketball coach. He's a legend in the state of Indiana, you know, I don't try to fill anybody's shoes. His is awful large to fill, especially in this community, but you know, he's been very beneficial and helpful as I have gotten started here in the last month.
You know, maybe we should even go back to a little bit of education, because there may be some out there listening this morning that may not fully know what this job entails as an athletic director for a school system. I guess we should start there. You can kind of tell the folks what your job duties are.
Yeah, well, it's more than just scheduling games and going to games. I mean, you have everything from, you know, checking athletic eligibility. Every now and then you have transfers come in. You have contracts to do for absolutely every sport that you do and every opponent you do. Obviously, we have facilities that we have to schedule and maintain that I have to oversee. And then obviously all the coaches that, you know, I'm trying to help and guide and help them become better people and better coaches too. I think that's part of the job. And you know, the fun part is going to the events and watching kids compete. And that's been a passion of mine since I was young, playing three sports in high school and then playing college tennis and then coaching at the college level and then coming back to Indiana and coaching high school sports. So, you know, I've kept myself in that arena for a long time and continue to have a great passion for it.
It's not just sitting in an office and waiting for the next game, in other words. And we should also stress it's not just at the high school level, but the middle school, junior high, and elementary school programs. You also have to take care of those as well.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, Washington here is very fortunate in having Ms. Garland as the athletic secretary to help manage at least the scheduling part of facilities. And I'm learning around that right now here in Washington. You know, there are a few things that are different. And every community and schools you work for do things a little bit differently. So it'll take me a little while to grasp onto that compared to, you know, like I said, where I was at 14 years, I pretty much had that running the way I needed to. So, but I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to getting to know the kids and the community.
One of the other things we didn't mention is finding officials. And I know if you talk to any athletic director within a 100-mile radius or further for that matter, finding officials in any sport is getting harder and harder as the numbers continue to drop.
Yeah, it's become a real problem. And it's statewide. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're at, what part of the state you're in. You know, for example, I know there are several areas that when you have a baseball or softball game rained out in the spring, sometimes you don't get to make them up because you just can't find officials. You can find the dates, but you just can't find officials. And so, you know, anybody that's out there that would love to become an official, the IHSA has great training programs, doesn't cost very much to become an official. And you know, they're really putting an emphasis on fan behavior. to try to alleviate those officials who are getting out because of that behavior. So, you know, the more folks we can get involved in high school athletics, the better.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's sad that we have to remind fans of that, but that is, let's face it, that is one of the biggest reasons we're seeing the numbers dwindle. There's only so much abuse you can take out there. We got to keep in mind these folks wearing the stripes, they're human too, and everybody makes mistakes from time to time. The call's made, you got to live with it and move on.
Yeah, and you know, there's not one official that I believe says they do this for the money. Because, you know, I mean, you know, the money's not what it's about for them. They love being involved with young folks and staying in the sports that maybe they grew up loving, and that's why they officiate. So, you know, we as administrators need to, you know, continue to emphasize that, you know, let's let the officials officiate the game and let the kids play and remember it's an athletic contest.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking to Mr. Larry Cochran, the new athletic director for Washington Community Schools. School officially in session now, so you're getting your first chance to see the students and the athletes in the hallways and the classrooms here as you get settled in and acquainted. Overall, as you look to your future and plans, do you have some plans, some goals you have set in this new role?
Well, we're gonna start a student athletic council that'll attend some leadership programs that the state offers through the IHSAA. We're gonna start that program, and you know, I'm just really gonna, you know, see what the needs are. You can't make decisions on where improvements need until you've, you know, kind of sat back and watched a little bit. So, you know, just here to really encourage kids to participate. I think folks will see me at a lot of events. That's what I do. It's what I like to do, even when our teams are on the road. As long as we don't have events here at home, you know, they'll see me on the road as well, supporting our kids. And I think the kids will find out that I'm supporting them 100%.
In your professional capacity, I know you served at the state level working with fellow athletic directors as well.
Yeah. Fortunately, currently I'm the first vice president of the IIIA, which is our state AD association. And next year I move into the president's role. And that's it's a nice role. It's your peers, you know, kind of elect you into that position. So I've been fortunate to be able to do those things. I think it's a benefit to my schools that I've worked at to be involved statewide, because I have, you know, I have access to knowing what's going on, you know, right away, and have a little bit of input maybe on some decisions statewide.
We've discussed the officials issue. Are you hearing any other issues statewide with the other athletic directors that are things that need to be addressed?
You know, one of the things that we talk about, obviously, I think in a lot is the fact that numbers are dwindling in sports and participation. You know, participation numbers in certain sports, specialization is hurt where folks are deciding to play just one sport, and smaller communities that hurts. And I don't know that we have a magic answer for that, but just to try to build our programs up and encourage kids to you know, get off the couch per se and participate for their schools.
Well, that's well said, and very much a problem, and that is again statewide as well, as more and more students are choosing to stay on the gaming systems and at home on the couch, as you mentioned, and it is unfortunate. But on the issue of playing more than one sport, it was a former Reds baseball manager that said, I talked to him personally one time about that, and he said he is not about that. He encourages all athletes, especially at this age, to participate in any and every sport they can and just stay involved.
Well, and I think if you look out there, I think college coaches who are looking at kids, you would also hear from them that they're looking for the multi-sport athlete, the kid that can do a lot of things and are athletic. And there's been some studies done that kids that play just one sport and one sport only, you know, 9, 10, 11 months out of the year, have a tendency to be more injury prone, just because the muscle movements that they use for that one sport may be different. You know, movements for tennis are different than movements for basketball. And so, you know, it's just a matter of trying to encourage kids to you know, do a lot of different things and get their parents to support that and not put a lot of pressures on young folks to say, hey, you just need to play this one.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And in some cases, the sports do cross over. But I know you talk to a lot of high school football coaches. Where do they go to find their kicker for the team? A lot of times they'll go to the soccer team and see what they got in the soccer program.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's a lot of football programs that find that kicker that can show up for 30 minutes of practice and then go on to the soccer fields. And there's a lot of schools that I know utilize, you know, that particular instance. But you know, here at Washington, I know, you know, some sports numbers are better than others, and you know, we'll take a look at that, and I'll sit with coaches and talk about how moving forward we can build up those feeder programs to get more kids to come out.
Let's go to the Washington programs now. First and foremost, you're very fortunate to step into a role where you were telling me before we went on, all positions, coaching positions are filled at this time, which is a great start, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes life a little bit easier. And you know, like I said, Coach Miller had everything pretty much, you know, in place for the start of the school year, which made my life a lot easier to be able to, you know, just to adjust the way things are done here and you know, start meeting with our coaches and take a look at our programs as a whole. And like I said, in smaller communities, you know, some years you're going to be stronger in things than others. And but it starts at the elementaries and trying to get kids to play a lot of sports in those roles. So we're going to take a look at that.
There's nothing more electric than the atmosphere in the Hatchet House Gym on Thanksgiving Eve with the annual showdown with Washington and Bar Eve, the start of the boys basketball season for each of those teams. I think there should be you can make a movie around just that one night of Indiana high school basketball because it is, as I said, electric and one of the great rivalries and one of the great events where people come to every year. Alumni come back. It's over the Thanksgiving break, and you see the stands full of people. It is truly awesome, and that's what it means to have the 13th largest gym in the nation to see it filled on a night like that. It is truly awesome.
Yeah, I've been fortunate that I've attended that game before because it's one of the nights that there's not a whole lot of games in Southern Indiana, and even being an athletic director at another school, I find myself wandering into somebody else's gym now and then just because I know it's going to be a good ball game. But I'm looking forward to that and hopefully having the Hatchet House, you know, full as much as possible. And it is a great venue. I played there as a kid in the regional. And I've had teams from Evansville Bossy play in here when it was a packed house. And it's a lot of fun when it's what I would say, rocking and rolling.
Absolutely. The start of the football season is here now, too, and I know Coach Dernal and his coaching staff working hard, getting the team ready. We're 2 weeks away from the first game, and the scrimmage is next Friday. One of the things I'm hearing, I didn't get this confirmed for sure, but due to our field situation, is it true Washington would not be able to host any more tournament games? Is that right? Am I hearing that?
Nobody's said anything to me on that yet. I haven't, that nobody's even brought that up as an issue to me. So, I don't know. I walked the field, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I mean, they've got it in really good shape. But I haven't been told that, so that's a new one to me.
They say the proximity of the track to the field is the reason because of players running off on that track and getting skinned up. I don't know. I can say that was one thing I wanted to see and talk with you about to see if there was any confirmation on that. I'm glad to hear that's not the case because we certainly love hosting any tournament event we can host. And looking to this year, Washington is going to get the privilege to host several great IHSAA-sanctioned events and tournaments.
Well, we hope so. You know, the way that works is that your tournament, the teams in the tournament get together and decide who's going to host. And basketball hasn't been decided yet. You know, we haven't been given that notification. I know that it wasn't decided amongst the five schools who was going to host it. And therefore, that goes back in the hands of the IHSA and they decide. So if the five schools who are in the tournament can't agree on who's hosting, then the IHSA determines that. And then obviously that's the same as the regional and the semi-state. So those notifications have not been sent out yet. So I'm definitely hoping, you know, that we get as many as possible. That's what you want. Until I get confirmation, I'm not going to sit here and say that we definitely have those. Now, I can say we are hosting the boys' soccer sectional, and that notification just came out last week.
That's great. Anything that can be in Washington is always great. And one thing I will say, it's an absolute travesty during the week of basketball sectional if the Hatchet House gym is sitting empty. I will go on record as to say, and it has happened before, and it just seems like there's something wrong with that.
I'm not going to disagree with you. It's an absolute travesty. In the same realm, you know, there are, you know, when Southridge was in this sectional, that's an awful nice gym too. And so then you've got two fantastic facilities sitting empty. So, you know, one or the other was going to sit empty. And then, you know, but being the athletic director at Washington, we're going to do everything we possibly can to have everything we can here.
That's awesome. Well, again, it makes it a lot easier for the broadcaster side of things, too. So we certainly are glad to do anything we can on our part. One topic we haven't covered yet, I know you inherited a unique situation coming right in off the bat with the Big Eight Conference. It has, of course, dissolved, and teams are finding new places for conference play, and that's going to be an interesting change of events for Washington Athletics.
Yeah, there are several of those of the PAC schools that are on the schedule in certain sports, so we're going to have to make some adjustments. We've not been given a lot of information, the four Big Eight schools going to the PAC yet, on how they're going to do things. We actually do not become members until 2020-21. So therefore, we're not really included right now in those meetings, which is, you know, that's the PAC's choice. So we're going to work hard at the Big Eight here this last year, and hopefully come the beginning of the year, we'll have a little bit more information on how scheduling is going to go and how the conference is going to want to be aligned. But we are grateful to the PAC for including the four schools. Vincennes and Jasper made a decision that was best for their communities. And so with the four schools that were being left, it's nice to have a place and feel like that other group of schools want you to be included.
And most definitely. And that's going to be a packed pack. No pun intended there. A lot of teams. So, you look at the football situation, it may be divvied up small schools, big schools possibly.
Yeah, I think probably, you know, there's certain sports that allow you to that you're going to have to do that. You don't really have a choice. And based on the numbers and the amount of scheduling the IHSA allows as far as the maximum amount of games played. So we'll just see how it plays out.
We will know more again next year when we can get into those meetings and find out. But, it depends on who you talk to about the Big Eight Conference. One thing you could always say about it, it was probably the most competitive conference in this part of the state. I mean, it was top notch, and you really had to fight to get a share or that title.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Big Eight's always had a great history. And, with the fact that it was getting dwindling with Mount Carmel dropping out, I understand why, it kind of dissolved or needed to dissolve, because it's hard to run a conference with six schools, especially playing five football games. Very difficult to find four other football games. Scheduling in football in the state is very, very difficult to do. And so, like I said, I think all the conferences have great, great teams. I mean, you look at the PAC and they've had state champions. You look at the SIC and they've had state champions. You look at the Big Eight, they've had a few state champions. So there's a lot of good competition in Southern Indiana.
Rapid fire, final minute left. Just quick questions for you. Your favorite NFL football team?
Don't hold it against me, the Dallas Cowboys.
We won't, but wow. Baseball team?
Oh, I'm a Cardinal fan.
Again, wow. You're talking to a Cubs fan here. Uh-oh. And basketball team?
I'm more of a college guy, and I'm a big IU guy. So
we'll live with that one.
Yeah, I'm more into basketball at the college level, so I'm not a huge NBA fan.
Overall favorite sport?
Oh, wow. Well, from a playing and coaching standpoint, it was tennis, so I'm still kind of a tennis guy.
Well, we had some great success with the girls' tennis program, and I tell you what, didn't lose any. I look for that to continue this year. Coach Hancock is doing a great job with that program.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough that I went to watch the ladies play in the state championship. That was just right at the time that I was hired here as the AD, so I was in transition, but went to watch them play. And for a community this size, they're doing a great job.
Mr. Larry Cochran, our guest on Focus on the Community this week, the new athletic director for Washington Community Schools. Mr. Cochran, welcome to Washington. Thanks for spending this time with us today, and we wish you the best, and welcome you again. If you need anything from us on our end, we're certainly glad to be there for you.
Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Focus on the Community has been brought to you today by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's program and past shows when you visit our website at WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Dwayne Shake, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW Sunday mornings as we focus on the community.